This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans. Presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
All-Star break is here. It is time for another edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, brought to you by our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. Our sponsors, we love them, the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, Dr. Sean Slissel, and, of course, our friends at BreakingTea.com. New Tribe t-shirt we'll tell you about in a little bit coming out, but Matt and Todd with you. And we had a lot on the docket here. The Tribe was dead and buried last week. Our executive producer, Todd, even said, man, is the season over? And we said, well, they got to win the series against the Royals. And, boy, the weekend, things really changed. Walk-offs and big home runs. And all of a sudden, there's life again at Progressive Field. Too bad Sunday's game was rained out because the Indians were going for a four-game sweep and have a little momentum going right now.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I was there Friday night for the Bobby Bombs walk-off with the misses. Great evening. I was supposed to go yesterday, but that was rained out with P1 listener Dr. Borland. And it was an interesting week because that Tampa series, which, you know, when we were discussing topics today, I didn't even mention, but that Tampa series was such bad baseball, and they were so awful, and so many bad things happened that I've kind of erased it from my memory because Friday and Saturday were so great.
Yeah, you know, it's wild. The Indians got to 500, actually, you know, went from 41-31 to 42-42, and you're like, oh, gosh. You know, John Heyman put out some ridiculous tweet. He's a total jobber. Okay, John Heyman is a jobber. He has Scott Boras is his buddy, so that's where he gets his breaking news. But he's losing it to tweet out something like, "Well, the Indians are going to sell, and do they sell Savali? Do they sell Bieber? Do they sell their young guys, Karinchak? Are you out of your mind? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. If they're going to sell Eddie Rosario and Cesar Hernandez, so what? Those are veteran players on 1-year deals." To say you're going to go out and sell and trade Shane Bieber is maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. But that's what happens when you lose, and losing leads to are they going to sell, and you know, the bottom's dropping out. And then they go out and win three straight games over Kansas City. And even Saturday night, the bats got going. It was fun to see. We're going to talk about Oscar Mercado, who's got his swagger back. You know, to sit at 45-42 at the All-Star break, I mean, it's not great by any stretch, but they haven't played very well. And at least now the sky's not falling going into this 5-day break.
That's true. Just going back real quick to the Heyman thing, I mean, it's clear that some team, he's doing bidding for some team who wants, you know, who wants those guys out there. The Indians always will talk about anybody. That's Antonetti. Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff have never denied that. They'll listen to every conversation. They might say to you, yeah, that's great. We're never trading Shane Bieber, but they at least listen. To say that they would trade Bieber and Savali, who and 99 is a different category, but you're not going to trade young, controllable starting pitching that makes no money.
Right.
Why would they possibly do that?
Right. Have you watched this team this year with its starting pitching depth, which right. isn't very much?
Yeah. You won't be trading any of those guys. But even so, like, he also compared it to, well, you know, last year at this time they traded Mike Clevinger. Yeah, he was going to be due more than $10 million in arbitration this year because he was becoming arbitration eligible. So he was finally up for his big payday. Savali and Bieber are still going to be making the league minimum. Like Jake Taylor, how good are you?
That's right.
I only make the league minimum.
That's right.
Yeah, but
that tweet was just—he's a jobber.
Yeah, that was lame. But I do agree with you that taking some good vibes and good momentum into the break was paramount because this team was cratering. You know that 9-game losing streak in 11 of 12, and they basically played their way out of the mix, out of a playoff spot. And, you know, the second half should really be designed for player development and playing the young kids. And that's why eventually, I'm assuming they will have a conversation about Cesar Hernandez or about an Eddie Rosario.
Well, I'm not ready to throw the white flag and wave the white flag yet and say we can't make the playoffs and we can't catch the White Sox. I think Chicago's superior. We talked about it last week. We were very negative on the show last week. But why not? I mean, we recorded on Tuesday. They had just blown that Tampa game, the first one. They were playing a doubleheader Wednesday, which was excruciating to watch. It was painful.
Horrible. They'd won bad, run on four hits in two games.
Yeah, and then got no hit again. And what did I read on the app, on the Indians app, the MLB app, that the Indians are protesting that no hitter, that come on.
Who cares?
Okay, right, exactly. How about we get some guys that can hit? I mean, I mean, my goodness. But over the weekend, look, just what the doctor ordered. It was a comfort cruise down Chagrin Boulevard, playing the Royals. Just awesome. I mean, it was like, thank you, Kansas City, for coming to town and fielding a baseball team. So all of a sudden, Bobby Bradley's hitting the ball, you know, out of the ballpark to win a game. Franmil does it the night before. Saturday night, everybody's hitting. Man, that was fun, you know, and that has to continue. Now, they're going to play Oakland out of the break. They're not going to see Kyle Zimmer or Irvin Santana out in Oakland. I mean, those two guys. You know, they're going to see Sean Manaea and Bassett and, you know, some really good pitching. So the Indians never seem to play well out there. But, hey, I'm not ready to wave the white flag yet, but I'm with you, Todd. I mean, if there's some guys that they need to see, let's see them. Let's continue to see Daniel Johnson. What have we seen so far? Not much, but at least play him. At least play him.
Yeah. Daniel Johnson, who's now up, and we'll go into the outfield situation here. So Friday night, Leah and I went to the game, and she looked up and she said, listen, the last time I went, there's a lot of guys that are different in this lineup. But I said, the three outfielders that are playing today a month ago were the starting outfielders in Columbus together. And they were rotating constantly left, right, and center, all three of them, between Zimmer, Mercado, and Daniel Johnson. I really think that Daniel Johnson, of those three guys, is the most talented player. But there's something that is holding him back, and I think that, you know, I think that he's still bitter about potentially, you know, being passed over so many times, which he did get screwed, in my opinion. But that doesn't matter. That's the kind of stuff you got to put behind you and just keep going in it. And so far, you know, he going into that game on Friday night, he was 0-for-15 with 8 strikeouts. Then he ended up in the eighth inning getting the quote-unquote leadoff double, which was his first major league hit, which was a line drive between center and left.
It wasn't even a line drive.
I'm being nice. And Benintendi and Michael A. Taylor in center field just let the ball drop in front of him. But then Johnson compounded that mistake by making the awful base running move, getting caught in between third and home on the now infamous play where, if you guys didn't see it, basically he got caught in a rundown and if you're listening to this podcast, you saw the play, you know what happened. The umpires,
you know him, don't you?
Both Daniel Johnson and Cesar Hernandez were called out, at third base at the exact same time. Tito, got tossed and lost his shit, which was great. I enjoyed.
So they needed that. That was great.
They did. But
Manny Acta would have sat on his ass. Manny.
Daniel Johnson is going to get his chance now. And he's got to prove it. I mean, all three of these guys, Zimmer, Mercado, and Daniel Johnson, are all at the point where there's a lot of, we talked about this last week, there's going to be a lot of 40-man roster spots that are going to have to be taken by real prospects that are going to have to be added to the 40-man that they don't want to expose to the Rule 5 draft in this offseason. And they have to prove that they can play. So far, as of right now, the way we look at it, I think you and I can both agree that we don't think that Zimmer is worth a roster spot at this point.
No. I mean, even if he has a decent second half, I mean, my gosh, Todd, Oscar Mercado over the weekend had, what, 4 or 5 extra base hits? That's the as many as Bradley Zimmer's had like the last 3 years combined. I mean, come on. I mean that to me that ship has sailed. I know where you're going and I know what you're saying, but to me now that Mercado seems to have some sort of confidence back because he was just dead last year and I don't know what happened. He's playing where you can see him in the batter's box. He looks like a different guy. Last year, you knew when he was coming to the plate, especially against right-handed pitching, he had no chance. He was down 0-2, and it's like, geez, he can't even put the ball in play. He can't even hit the ball hard anywhere, even if it's an out. Now, watch him. You know, he did the finger guns going around third the other night after the home run. Like, he's having fun again. So he should be playing every day. In center field, every day.
He was very excited, and at this point, I agree. I would much rather give me Oscar over Zimmer. Listen, if the Indians were in a position where you had three established outfielders, I mean, we don't know how long Eddie Rosario is going to be out, and we don't know if he's even going to be on this team if they decide to trade him, although I think they get a bag of baseballs for him at this point. You obviously you got to see what you got there, but to me, Bradley Zimmer is at best a fourth or fifth, probably fifth outfielder, and a guy who's going to pinch run or come in for late game defensive replacement. And if this were the playoffs and we were looking to add a fifth outfielder to the roster, I'd say, you know what, maybe Zimmer's the guy you want. So you know, if Roberto gets on in the late in the game. In a playoff game in the eighth inning or the ninth inning or whatever, and you want a pinch run, that's where you use Zimmer. You know, it's like Terrence Gore. Terrence Gore, for those who don't know, was this outfielder who lingered on the Royals and various other teams.
Forever. I think he had like three, I think he had like three stints with Kansas City.
I think he was in the majors, parts of the majors for like five seasons before he got his first major league hit, because he'd come up and he'd only be a pinch runner and he'd only be, or a defensive replacement. So I think that's the best you're going to get out of Zimmer. He's going to be 29 this fall.
Yeah. Enough already. I mean,
you know, it's put him in the, you know, I know Tyler Naquin's having a great year, but put him in the Naquin category. You know, put him in the Jake Bowers category. We've seen it all. We know what he is. Get him off the roster. It's not worth it. But, I mean, now with all the injuries you got,
right? He's going to stay. But I'd rather be seeing the way Mercado's swinging the bat right now. I'd rather see him every day, righty lefty. Who cares? I mean, yeah, you want to play Zimmer occasionally, and like you said, sub him in late in games. That's fine. You move Mercado over to left field. Whoever's out there. I mean, right now. Mercado's playing left mostly, and Zimmer's playing center, but because of the injuries. But what if Rosario comes back and Eddie's going to play? You know, they didn't sign him not to play him, and until they maybe trade him, maybe Eddie Rosario will be a part of a Savali trade, right, Heyman? Stupid ass.
You did bring up a good point though about Mercado. You know, it's a confidence thing with him, and I think you see it in
right.
And you really saw it last year when he was really struggling, and you saw it early on. But now it seems to be that this last week or so, he just looks like a different guy. He looks more confident. And I think it's a huge, huge difference in his game when he is playing with confidence and he's not worried about it. I think he knows now he's going to get at bats. So he's not worried about screwing up and being replaced, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, the pandemic maybe had something to do with it. I haven't read anything in depth on Oscar yet. And obviously, speaking of in-depth reading, we will get to the future of the Indians in Cleveland piece that came out this morning from The Athletic. Our buddy Zach Meisel, Jason Lloyd, and the great Michigander, Bill Shea, a Cleveland native but lives here in Michigan, also contributing to the story. We got to get to that. News of and this is something that we've known about for a little while, of a minority owner coming in here. And how about a payroll bump coming up? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's see. I think, when we talk about it, we can get into it a little bit.
But we're going to be the Yankees in no time.
Just to close the loop on.
Please.
On the outfield
speaking of loop, what's Jordan Luplow's situation?
Well, the 60-day DL. But here's where I was going with this. Harold Ramirez has shown that he's only 26 years old. He's young, by the way. He's 2 years younger than Zimmer.
Right.
Harold's shown that he needs to get regular at-bats and should be playing the majority of the time. So
in right field.
Yes.
Not in center. Lord help us.
Definitely not in center. And again, the better Oscar Mercado plays, or the better, you know, God forbid Zimmer ever showed anything, you know, when Zimmer's in the lineup, he's going to be in center. So.
And by the way, if there's a lefty on the mound for the other team, let's say Manaea's pitching for the A's this weekend, Ernie Clement should be in left field, Mercado should be in center, and Harold should be in right. I don't need to see Bradley Zimmer against lefties. Please and thank you.
I agree, especially when you want to keep these, you want to give Ernie some at bats and keep him fresh. And you know, Ernie is now your super utility man.
Oh, I love him. I'm fine with that.
Yu Chang's in AAA.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Where he kind of belongs. But Harold needs to be playing every day. You know, he's one of the few guys who actually has an OPS over 700 on the team, which is sad in the regular lineup. You know, he's up at 782, which, you know, 800 is ideally where he'd like to be. But, you know, most importantly, Friday night when I went to the game, I learned a couple of things. There were a couple of things. Number one, baseball at a 2 hour and 20 minute clip is really great. Leah goes to a few games with me a year. It's usually during the summer on a Friday night. She'll go to one or whatever, and then we'll go to one of the four of us with the kids. And you know, the game ended, and we, you know, Bobby Bradley hits the walk-off homer, and it was great. We loved it. We stayed, and, you know, we're leaving the car. And she's like, you know, that was a lot of fun. And she's like, you want to know why? Because the game was short. It wasn't too long. And the pace of play, and we'll get into that conversation for another time, but a 2.5 hour baseball game is that moves is certainly better than a New York Yankee, Boston Red Sox 4 hour marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I love, your wife. She's my sister. She's been my sister for years. Would she have said the same thing if she had sat through yesterday's like unnamed team Twins 4.5 hour, 10 inning game with like 20 walks, you know? I mean, it depends on the night. You caught a good night. I mean, she happened to be with you on the night where, you know, it was a bit of a pitcher's duel, and Tristan was going, and what's his nuts? Keller was pitching well for the Royals, and you're like, wow, like, it's already the seventh inning, and it's still light outside? That's crazy.
Yeah. It was also ideal weather. I mean, oh, my God, was it perfect down there. It was like probably 70 degrees, little breeze. Like, it was perfect weather. Number two, I want to discuss Bobby Bradley.
Oh,
what a great number one!
What a beast!
Kid,
he's a beast.
You know, they screwed him over so badly.
Oh, they screwed us over. Over. We had to watch Jake Bowers for 2 months.
But could you imagine being him and being frustrated? Like, God, I cut all this weight. I dominated in spring. I did everything they asked me to do, and still it wasn't good enough. And you know, you had said it. Most of those first 2 months when people would be like, you know, when people would tweet at us or we would have the conversation with people and they'd say, oh, well, Bobby Bradley's not hitting in AAA. And you said, he's bored down there.
Right.
He's been down there for 3 years.
He's over. He's over.
Nothing to prove.
He's over.
But he came up and that walk-off homer that he hit was so awesome. I was so happy for him. It was his 100th at bat of the season. It was his 10th homer. He's hitting homer every 10 at bats. He's also striking out, you know, one every three at bats, but that's baseball. You know, this is what he is. He's a power guy, a high power guy, high strikeout guy. But wasting, I've said it before, I'll say it again, wasting 2 months on that scrub Jake Bowers that we all knew couldn't hit, had 1,000 major league at bats to prove himself and never did, was a absolute egregious mistake by the front office.
You couldn't have said it any better. I don't need to add anything. I mean, you watch Bobby Bradley's at bats, you see walks, you see taking lefties the other way. These are not all pull jobs, home runs in terms of hitting it to the pull field. I mean, these are legitimate. Some of these home runs going the other way. Like I said, just quality at bats. He's young. He's 26. He's playing with energy. You could see. I mean, the walk-off the other night, he was going nuts around the bases. He couldn't wait to get mobbed. as Tom Hamilton would say, a mob scene at home plate. I mean, it was he's the real deal, and it's fun to watch. And he and Daniel Johnson are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. I think this motivated Bobby. He had a great attitude, and they brought him up, and he's been really good. And Daniel still, I guess, has some maturing to do, and hopefully he'll get there. I do think you're like you said, he's still a little bit bitter about spring training. But Bobby Bradley's your guy at first base for now into hopefully for a long time. I mean, you just see. And he's played a good first base, too, defensively. He's made some nice plays.
He did. He has acclimated himself nicely. I know he kicked a couple of balls this weekend on the backhand side, but I just come back to this. This is the most telling. So Bowers had exactly 100 at-bats. And Bradley, after Saturday, has 104. Jake Bowers has a 557 OPS. Bobby Bradley, 913.
Yeah.
Bobby Bradley's slugging percentage was higher than Bowers' OPS. He's a 577 slugging percentage. It's higher than his OPS, higher than Bowers' OPS. So, again, props out to Bobby Bradley, and which I think – should move us now, and we're going to go in reverse order. Why don't you tell everybody, speaking of Bobby Bradley, about the latest breaking tea?
This is big news.
T-shirt with a little help from the Dairy Brothers themselves.
I mean, this is big news. Big news. Some back room emails going on between yourself and Jamie from BreakingTea.com about, hey, look, it's time for a Bobby Bombs Cleveland Indians T-shirt. A shirt from Breaking Tea. As you know, they've got it, breakingtea.com/dairy. That's D-E-R-Y. You go there now. Takes you right to the Cleveland collection, and you can see. You want the Franimal shirt? Friday night, it's a walk-off. The dude is just, he's a beast, too.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, that was another one of the topics that we'll discuss. But what's so funny is Fran Meal hits that walk-off homer, and both the executive producer and you on the text thread going, I'm getting that Franimal t-shirt today.
You got to get it. You got to get it. Any of the shirts that you want. The Indians have some fun players, right? There's a couple of Jose Ramirez shirts there. The Police Act shirt, the Bieber Fever shirt, whatever you want to rock for the summer, you get it at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Now, thanks to these backroom emails, yes, Bobby Bombs, the brand new Bobby Bradley shirt, in gray, with him rounding first base after the walk-off homer with his arm in the air. It's awesome. Get the Bobby Bombs t-shirt now at BreakingTea.com/dairy. The kid's not going anywhere. He's going to be here for a while. If you're worried, oh, I buy all these shirts and then these players get traded, all the Dolans do is trade their players. Shut up. Get the Bobby Bradley shirt. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be a stud at first base for a long time, and the shirt looks really cool. BreakingTea.com/dairy. You want Brown stuff, Cavs stuff, whatever you want, they have. Other sports, you want an Ohtani shirt. You know, they put out a different new Padre shirt like every day. If you like those cool mustardy colors, the brown and gold, you get it at BreakingTea.com. Go there now. BreakingTea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. Use that URL and get you right into the Cleveland collection. I'm getting my Bobby Bombs shirt today, no question about it. What about, it would be nice if you went to the dentist and saw Dr. Ben and he was rocking like a Tristan McKenzie shirt. That would be sweet.
I heard that, I know that Dr. Ben's a big Bobby Bombs fan. He was pro Bobby Bombs and anti Jake Bowers before it was cool. So if you guys are looking for a dentist on the east side of Cleveland, or if you live on the west side and you don't mind taking a little bit of a ride, why don't you come on over, hop on 271, get off at Chagrin Boulevard, and check out Orange Place, little building on Orange Place, Center for Advanced Dentistry, home of America's greatest dentist, Dr. Ben Hornstein, and his partner, America's future greatest dentist when Dr. Ben retires one day, which we hope is never, Dr. Sean Schlissel. Give him a call. 216-595-1710, or go on cfad.net and check out those two handsome devils on that front page of that website. Just a routine cleaning, smile reconstruction, they got everything you need over there. My friend and great hygienist Sandy the real MVP, as Zach Meisel called her. She'll take good care of you. Again, very relaxed atmosphere, very professional. Give him a call, 216-575-1710, or check him out at cfad.net.
The real MVP will be whoever widens the lanes on Chagrin one of these days.
I heard that you were out there with a black paint, and your door open slowly, doing the dividing lines.
Like two-lane comfort cruise? That's like Cosmo Kramer did.
That's right.
Matt and Todd with you, Dairy Brothers Tribecast. It's the All-Star break. Tomorrow night, on Tuesday, Jose Ramirez will represent the Indians, the lone Tribe All-Star that at least will be active. Shane Bieber, I'm sure, will be out there tipping his cap in the introduction lines, but that's about it. But the Indians sit at 45-42 here at the All-Star break, come back and immediately go right to the West Coast to play the A's. Eric, the actor's A's.
Rest in peace.
That's right. Not sure if there will be any balloons flying over the Oakland Alameda Coliseum or whatever they call it now. Is it O.co? I don't even know what they call it.
I think so. Also known as the worst stadium in sports. Well, second worst. We were just in Tampa, the worst stadium in sports.
It's pretty bad.
Stupid friggin' carpet. Let's bang the ball high off the carpet and leg it out.
The Rays know how to play down there, though, don't they? Oh, my gosh.
I'll tell you, that Grigion and Wander Franco, those two are going to be awesome up the middle for about the next 10 years.
Yeah. No, Tampa's, you know, you look up and you talk about the Indians' prospects, and yes, you're excited to see maybe one day what Valera looks like and Tyler Freeman and guys like that, but, you know, Brujan and Wander are generational talents. I don't know if the Indians have that. You know, the Indians have a lot of guys
Will
coming.
Benson?
What's that?
By the way, he's having a great renaissance. I said, what about Will Benson having a great renaissance here?
He is. Let's talk some Oscar Gonzalez. What about Lil Benji? I'm talking about him. All right, so Franmil, real fast, and we got to get to this athletic piece too. But Franmil Reyes, boy, coming back healthy. And what the lift he gives this lineup, the fact that, and I think Mike Matheny did it right the other night by intentionally walking Jose to get to Reyes so Holland could face the righty. But, man, I mean, that home run he hit the other night to walk us off, just to get us off this 9-game skid. I mean, what a hit. That could be the biggest hit of the year.
You know, I was so happy for him. He also, another great dude. You know, you see his post-game interview with Andre, and he was so excited, and he's always got the big smile. It was actually Andre was doing his stand-up before the game, and Franmil kind of came from behind and, like, made these faces and was, like, goofing and, like, you know, gave Andre, like, it just seems like a really good dude. Like, I mean, you hear nothing but great things about him in the clubhouse, and he's always smiling, always positive. It was his birthday over the weekend also. Happy birthday, Franmil Reyes. But the dynamic of him, the running joke in Cleveland forever for Cleveland baseball fans was, oh, we got to get a right-handed power bat. Well, this is the epitome of the right-handed power bat.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing, you know, when the Indians made that the Trevor Bauer trade, you know, Franmil came over, and, you know, I think most people who don't follow NL baseball, unlike you, Mr. NL Fantasy League, knew that who he was, really. I mean, they knew, they saw his power number, but you're like, you didn't know. I mean, this guy is really, really good, and these are the exact kind of trades that the Indians always look to make. The Indians are never going to, I mean, other than the Andrew Miller deal in 2016, the Indians are looking for, and he had club control for an additional year.
Yeah.
Indians are always looking for a club controlled for a long time type of talent. That's the trades they make. And that Franmil Reyes deal, you know, trading Trevor Bauer and getting, you know, in the three-way trade with the Padres and the Reds and getting Franmil Reyes. I mean, he's great, and he's going to be in that lineup for years to come. He is the ideal guy to hit in the middle of that order.
They need him. They need him and Jose to be healthy and be in there every day. You know, Jose, I was a little worried about late in the week this week because some of his at-bats were just, he was going back to wanting to pull everything. But But then, you know, kind of settled back in on Saturday night and hit a home run, which was nice to see. But those two guys are what carries this team, you know. And when Franmil goes out for a couple of months with the oblique, and you know, Jose's in and out of the lineup with a couple of different injuries, including fouling a ball off his face, you know, it's tough. And those two guys have got to be there.
And you know what about Jose? I think that mentally this year, listen, I haven't heard this. This is just my opinion. This has to be a mentally draining for him. Because, so Franmil Reyes has only played in 47 games. You know, the Indians have played, 45 and 42? Is that what
correct?
We said?
They played 87 games.
87 games. He's only played in 47 of those games. So, and Eddie Rosario being hurt. Jose, there's so much on his shoulders, and I know we've said this before, but it's like the offense most of the year was sitting around and waiting for Jose or Franmil Reyes to bail them out. We're the ones who bailed you out. Yeah. So, but I think it's been a mentally draining season on Jose, and it's been hard for him. And listen, the guy's a total stud. You know, I love him. They should be working on extending him if possible. He probably will never take it, considering that he's going to have to, you know, his contract is so terrible. He's going to have to cash in, but yeah, I'm just glad that both of them are back in the middle of the order. Let them rest this week, get their bearings again. And hopefully coming out of the break, they'll be, you know, ready to have others help them, because I don't know how much more these two can do to carry this team.
No.
Because that's pretty much what they're doing. I mean, Cesar Hernandez has the 15 homers, but he's the rest of his numbers are way down. His defense has been terrible.
Terrible.
By the way,
doesn't make
the Gold Glove this year.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's weird. But again, that was a short sample size of 60 games last year. It's almost like
true.
You know, hopefully this is a short 87-game sample of Cesar, and his defense in the second half gets better. But still, this offense goes as those two guys go, is my point. And it's been fun to watch. It's been real fun to watch, at least this past weekend. I mean, they're not out of the woods yet. They're only 3 over .500. You can't erase the 9-game skid. A lot of teams have gone through a lot this year. There have been a ton of what I see, some stat, 8, 9, 10 teams have already had 9-game losing streaks or worse. You know, the Cubs are in a free fall. I know you're upset about that.
It's a real shame.
I know. Maybe the Tribe can trade Savali for Chris Bryant. dumb fuck. But, you know, it just... I'm sorry. That Heyman tweet still ticks me off. But, like, you know, you look at the lineup, it's so much longer and so much better when Reyes and Jose are there. The team hasn't been together in terms of the regular lineup with Eddie Rosario or Naylor or even Harold at the same time all year, which...
It was just that one inning the other day against Tampa where you and I were both like, oh, this is the A lineup, and then Eddie got hurt. And he came out, and that was like the one time, or was it? It was, I think, a week and a half ago. That was like the one time they actually had their true A lineup out there.
Yeah. All right. Real fast.
And then the pitching. All right. Go ahead.
No, I wanted to say about the pitching. Certainly, I think we've seen a different Class A in Karinchak since the whole sticky stuff situation. Those guys are still very good, but
I don't think Class A. Class A's still throwing the same way he was throwing. I think the other guy, he's having a little bit of a harder time. Class A gave up the bomb the other day, but you know, that was the wrong pitch to the wrong guy. Jorge Soler just crushed it, and he's a fastball hitting guy. He just guy had 40 homers 2 years ago.
So I know
that's going to happen.
But yeah, I agree that Karinchak has not been the same. I think the rest and the off time will be good for him and everything else. But the rotation, interesting, the Indians come out and say, okay, start the second half. We're going to go with Morgan, Quantrill, Plesac, Mejia, and McKenzie. Now, first things first, maybe I should apologize. Last week I was very hard and harsh on Tristan McKenzie because, quite honestly, he's been a disappointment. And, boy, was he fantastic on Friday night. It was mind-boggling.
I was there.
It was
he
mind-boggling.
Was awesome. They could have sent him out there for the eighth, too. I mean, I'm glad they didn't. I know Class A gave up the homer, but it was the right decision. you get him out on the high note there. I mean, he was cruising. And the other thing was, as you and I both know, the issue with him has always been the walks. And, like, he starts walking guys, and then all of a sudden it just keeps, you know, piling on. But he was so under control. I mean, I looked up after, like, the first inning, I think he threw, like, 13 pitches – or 15 pitches or something. It was, like, 10 – you know, 13 strikes, whatever it was. His strike-to-ball ratio in the first four or five innings was – normally he's almost, you know, 65-35. But this was – he was really in the zone.
He was great. He was
great.
The
Royals are a very good I think we dismiss the Royals a lot because their pitching sucks. Their lineup is really good.
It's not bad.
And he handled them. They had one run on two hits.
And Hunter Dozier only destroys us. It makes no sense. He's hitting under 200, but he comes to Progressive Field, and it's like he's like Eddie Rosario from the last few years, or like you point out, Mike Sweeney or Konerko or Joe Creedy. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, Miguel Cabrera just rakes at Progressive Field. And you're right. I mean, the Royals, you know, when you're trying, you know, Whit Merrifield's a pest, and now an all-star again. Carlos hits two home runs and two at-bats, including, you know, the tying home run the other, or the go-ahead home run the other day, and then the Indians came back.
It was tying home run because we wanted them.
But, like, you're right. They don't have a bad team in the field. They miss Mondesi big time, but they're not horrible. I mean, you're right. Their pitching is just abysmal. But interesting.
But for Tristan, I mean, that, you know, he's 23 years old. I mean, we got to, you know, sometimes I think we forget that he sat out for two full years, basically, and didn't pitch, and then came up and made, like, a couple of starts. But I'll tell you, he everything about him in this last start, his demeanor, I mean, you know, he walked one guy in seven innings. For him, that's like a miracle. Nine strikeouts, one walk, and one hit. That's what it was. It's amazing.
It was. We didn't even mention Salvy Perez, who's arguably the best catcher in the game. I mean, or one of them. It's another guy. I mean, he just, you know, there were fastballs with late movement, just destroying some of those hitters. It was great. And now, you know, you'd figure, you hope he builds off of that, and he'll get the start next week. The Indians play Oakland the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's Morgan, Quantrill, Plesac. Then Mejia apparently is back against the Astros, and then McKenzie. So that leaves a couple of guys out, Todd, including Sam Hinches, who, quite honestly, if I'm the Indians now and he's down in Columbus, I don't think they want to move him to the bullpen yet, but that's probably the call here eventually. So he can be hitting 97 and only have to pitch an inning or two.
I don't think they can afford to do it because of the depth situation, but hopefully – you know, Shane Bieber, they said, was on a mound. He wasn't ready to throw, but he was getting there. Aaron Civale, I have not heard. Have you heard any updates on?
No, I don't think it'll be until August.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either. So you really need the depth. And then the Indians had signed two guys to AAA contracts, Zach Godley, two former major leaguers, and Brad Peacock, formerly of the Astros, who was once upon a time a pretty good pitcher. And I've heard from several people that you will see Peacock in the second half. So I was surprised, to be honest, that my guess was they planned on going with Peacock for the fifth starter, but McKenzie was so good that he forced his way into that last spot. But you will see Peacock at some point, I would believe.
Yeah, I mean, he's a major leaguer. I mean, he's a middle to the back end of the rotation type of guy that if he can get in our system and with the factory that, you know, he can get back to being a decent innings eater type in the rotation until you get, you're right, Savali and Bieber back. You know, but it is telling that, you know, they've had so many guys struggle, including Mejia, including Hinches, but they elected to go with, you know, Morgan, Quantrill, Plesac, Mejia, McKenzie to at least start the second half. So right now, I mean, you know, they got to get healthy. I mean, you get Bieber back and you get Savali back, and then there's a competition for the rest of the spots. Quantrill's pitched pretty well, and I think he's a lock to stay. And then, you know, let's see how Morgan does in the big ballpark on Friday night in Oakland. And, You know, the pen will be rested this week. The platoon will be better rested this week, and that's a good sign, because it seems like Brian Shaw pitches every damn day, and he hasn't been the same guy either the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, he's going to get another shot, but again, with the way these guys are, and the fact that Peacock is ready or should be ready soon, you know, one bad start and you could be sent right out. So.
Well, we know Logan Allen and Sam Hentges won't be back for a little while, you know. I think Logan Allen got tattooed in Columbus the other night again. And when they lost 11-1, so I don't know what's going on there.
You know my feelings on him.
I think the next Logan Allen we'll see in the big leagues will be Logan T. Allen.
Could be.
He's moved up the ranks rather quickly.
Up to Akron, yeah.
You know, so. All right, big story this morning. Shout out to Jason Lloyd, Zach Meisel, and Bill Shea. Zach, of course, a friend of the show, and the co-host of the Selby's Godcast. The Indians' future in Cleveland. Relocation questions, ownership status, payroll, and more in the spotlight. An exclusive at theathletic.com came out this morning, a couple of hours ago. Todd, you and I both read it. You know, where do you want to start? I mean, you know, for fans that think, you know, the executive producer, Jeremy, he's a big our lease is up guy. It sounds like in this piece that they're hearing from sources that a new lease is nearly done and that the Dolan family and the city of Cleveland have worked on this and are working on it, and that the lease at Progressive Field is up after next season. Is that right?
2023
will be extended. These rumors about the team moving to Nashville, these three guys talked to some guy, John Moore or whatever, in Nashville, and he has said publicly to them, we have not had any discussions about the Indians moving here. Nashville wants a team, whether it's the A's or the Rays. Sounds like they're going to get one, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be the Indians, which is good. There's nothing really in this piece about the new team name, which I'm tired of talking about. But the bigger story is that there is appearing to be publicly now, at least in this piece, the rumors about who's this East Coast mortgage mogul. Well, we have a name with the face here that could be coming in soon to be the new John Sherman and pump some payroll into this team. Todd, give us the latest.
Well, his name is Stanley Middleman.
Stan the Caddy?
Yes. No. Yes. Is that what we're going to go with?
That's what we're calling him.
You and I, about 6 to 8 weeks ago, had caught wind of this, and you know, I wasn't at liberty to discuss the details or the name that we had heard, but he's the founder and CEO of New Jersey-based Freedom Mortgage, and. Listen, you can't really go by what you read on, you know, these net worth, you know, Google him and his net worth, but he's a billionaire with a B. You know, and according to what this article, the Athletic piece says, he's one of the people that is bidding to be, and, you know, it seems to be the lead name to be the new John Sherman minority owner. But like with the John Sherman ownership, there was a pathway to become the next majority stake owners of the team. So I got to believe that anybody, you know, Middleman in particular, who is going to come into this situation is going to say, I want to take over eventually. So there's going to be I know it was in the piece kind of like, well, it's probably going to. Listen, it's going to happen. Whoever ends up, if it's Stanley Middleman or anybody else, whoever buys up the minority share is going to become the eventual majority.
Right, right. That was the plan. That was the plan with Sherman.
Yeah, that was exactly. And I've long believed that Paul Dolan has been holding out to try to win a World Series while his father was still alive. But at a certain point, I think it's become too much. I think the writing's been on the wall. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? You never know, because sometimes, you know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And while we all want to have a billionaire owner with a B who spends, and I'm sure that would make things better, you don't know if this means Antonetti and Chernoff say, you know what, we had our run here, it was great, I don't know this guy, we don't want to work for him, and they're out, and then all of a sudden we have new guys running the city, you know, the organization, and you don't know. So I do think that's a good thing. There, eventually that's going to happen, but you just, there's the great unknown of what it would do to the stability of the front office that's been so good. Or maybe they, you know, maybe Antonetti and Chernoff say, hey, we now are going to have more money to spend. Let's right. see how we do it. So and let's stay and see if we can do it.
But when the Mets came after those guys this off season, they know what's going on. They have conversations with Paul. I'm assuming Paul is telling them before anybody else. Look, I'm trying to find a minority owner. I'm having a conversation with this Stanley Middleman guy, and things aren't going to change. Or else one of those two would have bolted. I mean, Chernoff's yeah. from there. You know, didn't he grow up a Met fan? I mean, like,
yeah.
So that's a good sign. And to me, the article talks about how the Indians, or whatever their name is next year, the Cleveland baseball team, the Spiders, the Guardians, they want to bump payroll back up into at least $80 million, as opposed to where it is now, which is, you know,
50.
Right. So does that mean that they're going to extend Jose and Shane and that's where it starts? I hope so. But it is, you know, we talk about, last week we talked about the who, not how, and having enough who's on this team. There's holes. There, you know, this rotation could use another pitcher. You know, is Tyler Freeman ready to be the shortstop next year? We're going to dip our toes into the Carlos Correa sweepstakes or Corey Seager this offseason. Right. Is there shortstops aplenty coming? But what about a corner outfielder? What about, you know, who knows? Well, but
here's the thing. There's the great unknown here, which is the collective bargaining agreement is going to expire. And the system needs to be changed.
Right. There might not even be a season next year.
Well, that's the whole thing, and that's why another reason why this could be a slower process than we would like it to be, because nobody knows what the system's going to be like. You know, it's really, the system is terribly broken, as we all know, and needs to change, and we have no idea how that's going to play out. So I will say this, going back to the relocation portion of it, the piece also said that the guy John Moore in Nashville, it sounds like they would much prefer an expansion team. It's going to be very costly for any team to move. So, and MLB is going to expand at some point. It's one or two teams.
But can't get too greedy in saying, making a statement like that. We prefer an expansion team. Oh, okay. The A's situation out in Oakland is a joke. It's awful.
Well, that one, exactly.
They need to leave. They don't. They're supposedly having
two.
You have two situations right there that are primed for a move. Sitting here talking about expanding, hold on a second here. I mean, to me, MLB expanding more. I think the product is fine, but they don't know how to get out of their own way. They're playing 7-inning doubleheaders and charging people full prices. Like when they split those games, they still have this stupid runner at second base, like to start extra innings. They have no plan at all for universal DH. You're gonna expand and add more teams. Give me a break.
I think that's where they think they can get more money, obviously. But I think that Nashville will eventually get a team. I truly believe, and that's the one thing. Listen, I know there's a lot of Dolan haters out there, but this is it said in the piece, they're a fifth generation Cleveland family. They do not want to sell the team to somebody who's going to move it. They will find someone who is willing to work with them and stay in the city. And I believe that the lease and the sale are kind of a hand in hand situation, because
sure.
they want to extend that lease to know that this next owner is not going to move the team. And I think that is the biggest takeaway from that piece. To me, is that the lease and the ownership are literally a conjoined situation. And when that lease gets extended, that changes the game for the future of baseball in Cleveland. Because as it also says in the piece, and you and I and the executive producer have talked about many times, the viability of three major sports franchises in this city is not it's not great. And the Browns are never going to go anywhere again. And the NFL, you know, it's hand over fist, and it's, you know, 9 home games a year. And so that's going nowhere. The NBA has a salary cap, and the Cavs have an owner who is, you know, a gigantic billionaire who will, it doesn't matter how much money he makes or loses, he doesn't care. So if there, and so if there's one franchise that was a little iffy on the future, it would be the Indians. But you work that lease out with the city, and you get another lease right. for another 15 years. You know,
they're not going
down the road.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. They're not.
I agree.
And if you get a minority owner that has some money, then that's all that matters. You know, you could sit here and cry poor, and I know that there's a certain. Paul Dolan doesn't help himself when he speaks publicly sometimes. And that's on him, and that's on the organization for not coaching him up better for public statements. But the bottom line is you get enough investors and, like you said, minority owners and then everything else. You know, unfortunately, I just don't understand the attendance. I don't get why more people don't go. But it sounds like people are staying home because the TV ratings are good. It's not like this team's not – no one's watching. There's people watching. It's not the great. It's not the greatest baseball town in America, not even close. But people are watching, so they need to do that research and figure out why they're not coming down there. And you know, I think the article was a positive for the Indians, for the city, for everybody. I thought it looked good.
Yeah, and it's just part one. I know they're going to be doing a little bit more. I don't know if they're dropping them each day this week, or it probably because it's the All-Star break, I would imagine so. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the pieces and learning more about Stanley Middleton. That's another thing. I think now that the name's out there, you know, people are going to start doing their research, and you'll be learning more about him in weeks to come.
All right, so the Indians are off until Friday, 9 o'clock game Friday night. 4 o'clock game Saturday afternoon, and then another day game on Sunday in Oakland. Todd, we've gone 52 minutes here.
I got to walk the dog.
There you go.
It's all good. No, you know what? We had lots of stuff to talk about. It's heading into the All-Star break. Hopefully next week we're going to have a big name guest that we're working on. So
perfect.
I'm looking forward to having the big name guest come on our show. And I'm just looking forward to the second half. These next, you know, yesterday's rainout sucked because we were like, oh man, this is going to be 5 days now, 6 days in a row without a game. This is terrible. I'm going to have to dip into Netflix or something, find something to watch.
Who's our guy we got to shout out that really likes the new bumper
music? John? Are we talking about John McCormick?
He wants the bumper music at the end of the show, so we gave it to him last week.
Wait, hold on. We're talking about executive producer's friend, John, who is a P1 listener. The Mr. and Mrs. Executive Producer went out to the Tribe game a couple Fridays ago, and Jer was texting me. He was, like, literally pulling references. He was pulling Dr. Sean. He was pulling Sandy being the real MVP. I'm sure there was one other one. Oh, I'll tell you what it was. He actually went and got the Momocho nachos and went the TD move, cheese, chicken, and cheese again. So shout out to John, P1 listener. We appreciate it, and we'll keep bringing that heat content for you.
There you go. All right, Dairy Brothers Tribecast at waitingfornextyear.com. Craig Lindell, thank you, as always, for hosting us at your website. And thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein is the best, CFAD.net. And also, BreakingT.com/dairy. Go there now and get the new Bobby Bomb shirt. We'll do it all again next week.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.